8-1-6, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap'n J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap'n J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. And we are streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Cap is off today. I'm Jay Hood. It's time for Shot or No Shot, as we do every day at 8 o'clock, as brought to you by...
That would be...
What is
Club
it, Cap?
Hawthorne Betting Bars, featuring horses, racing, video slots, and sports betting throughout Chicagoland. We say good morning.
Touche W. Norling.
Good morning, boys. How you doing, Hoodie?
I'm fine, thank you. Why am I called W? That makes no sense.
It's literally my middle initial. I don't know how we got there, but he might have just gotten lucky. I don't know what it is.
I'm sure he looked it up. He's the nosiest man in America,
I'm sure he looked it up.
Went to Social Security office.
He was doing a background check on me.
Yeah, be careful, that guy.
He knows everything about my life now.
That's why, again, I say this all the time, Jay Moore. You just don't tell everybody everything. Because, the whole, I'll be going on vacation in a couple of weeks. You think I'm going to tell him where I'm going so he could track me down the hotel? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know this, Shay. When I'm gone, I'm gone. I'm unplugged, right? Absolutely. Yeah. But I'm not going to tell him where I'm going so he could track me down.
I'll post pictures later.
Yeah.
Right.
Safer that way. That's how I do that. Can't tell him anything. He tracked down that man's middle initial. Didn't even offer it, Shay. Didn't even offer it.
Somehow he's going to figure out the code to my lockbox and just be in my apartment one night when I get home.
Do, 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 do.
I just wanted to talk to my executive producer.
Oh, man. Don't let him do it to you. Don't let him do it to you. I'll always share with the audience. But him, no. Because he'll try to figure it out. There's going to be closed doors everywhere. Got to remember that, Shay. Because he'll get your Social Security number. I'm just telling you.
I need his, if we're being honest.
All that money, that old TV money just sitting around. I'm just chilling. No, you're not. You're making money. That's why he's overseas now. Here's Shay Norling.
All right, Hoodie, don't look now, but Chicago sports are actually getting pretty exciting. The Bears, we know, are moving up. They had the number one pick. They traded out of it. It feels like a year on the rise. The Cubs may have lost last night, but same thing. They're fun this season, and it feels like they're moving in the right direction. And the Blackhawks got the rights to draft a generational player in the upcoming NHL draft. Shot or no shot. This is the most exciting time in Chicago sports since the Bears won the division in 2018.
That is a shot. Think about it. So you got a Sky Championship out of that. Okay. And rightfully so, Candace Parker, the GOAT, was in town, brought a championship, and then she bounced. And then from there, you see where the Bears are going right now. The Blackhawks get the number one pick in the draft. Bears, Sox, Cubs spent $300 million or more in the offseason to try to bolster their team. Actually paid for Dansby Swanson tie on, so you like the free agency money that's going there. So yeah, I would say that's a shot. We're in a little sweet spot here where it's about hope. This is the hope era right now in Chicago sports. We've been through it a lot, but just think about those other couple teams that we talked about, Shay. An opportunity to do something, the Bears and the Hawks, by starting over and then trying to build from there. So yeah, I would say it's a shot to that.
Yeah, and like, I know we've talked a lot about whether or not we like the approach to building this way. I'm a huge fan of it. I think that this is a good job of a team recognizing what they needed to do. Sometimes you do have to bottom out to come back up. It's not true in all circumstances. Like, we see the Cardinals have never bottomed out, but what's it really gotten them in the past decade? And now here they are bottoming out now.
You know what the mistake is that's made when you do this, though? And again, like I said, I can't fight this. So a team wants to tank, that's fine. You know, in some instances where the problem is with that, Shay, is that if you're going to implement that poison pill where you're like, okay, we're going to then fire everybody. Fire everybody. That's the whole thing. Because having the same regime that got you to this brick wall and say, okay, since you got us this brick wall, we want you to tank and be able to. So I can't trust you. You got me to this point, to this brick wall where I can't get to the postseason or the team can't get over the hump. So why should I continue to generally manage the team? Why should you be the head coach? Why should I trust this front office to get it done? To me, if you're going to do that, you start over. Like the Bears.
Yeah.
Perfect example, right? Could you imagine, like, if Ted Phillips is still in the chair? And Ted, he again, financial guy, but also had his knowledge about football. Could you imagine if you have no Kevin Warren and no Poles? And like, yeah, we're going to start over with Ryan Pace as a general manager. I couldn't trust him on the rebuild, but someone with fresh eyes, maybe.
Yeah, that's fair. I just, in general, like, if at least this got them Connor Bedard. Like, at least, no matter what, whether you think it's the same regime and why we should trust them or whatever, at least we have the starting piece now.
Well, this is new. This is Davidson, so it's new.
Right, but just to get back to the question about the excitement in Chicago, like, dating myself here as a youth, I moved here in 2020, so when I got here, it was just the White Sox and nothing. And now, with all three of these teams, the Bears, the Cubs, and the Blackhawks, seemingly on the up, it's the most excited I've been about Chicago sports since I've lived here, so I would absolutely say shot.
Yeah, absolutely. Next.
There remains a whole hoodie on the Bears' defensive line at edge rusher, and there doesn't seem to be a ton of urgency in addressing it despite some big-name free agents remaining on the market. We know Ryan Poles has made it clear that he wants to build this team from the ground up through the draft, but shot or no shot, Poles can't wait until 2024 to address edge rusher.
That is a shot. You want to take a look at it right now because there's a hole there. And I just think that there's still free agency money that's left over, I definitely would look into trying to spend it. Now, it's funny. This question came about, I believe, this time last year as far as certain free agents that you gave us. And then Cap and I balked at those free agents because they said, well, you're not ready to win right now. But I think that when you've got to three wins last year and you're adding on the way they did, and again, it was aggressive. You took care of their linebacker spots. You were able to draft, I thought, well, by having Darnell Wright on the team at right tackle. I think that you should be able to take a look at this. I think that just having someone to get after the quarterback could accelerate where you are. Maybe I'll be wrong about the 7 wins at the end of this upcoming season if you add on more defensively. I mean, Justin Fields is trying to learn, yes, but defensively, you still got to get after the quarterback. I have no problem with them trying to find someone. So that's, for me, that's a shot. You should look into it for sure. Because you need more.
I'm in the same boat as you where it, like, even if it's, and we've talked about Yannick Ngakoue, and I know Cap doesn't think that highly of the signing, and it's just a name, but that is something where, what if he is good and you get him on a 1-year flyer and it turns out he's good and you can keep him because the year after you're ready to really get after it? I'd rather give the guy an audition and 1-year deal than the salary cap is still there a year from now and you don't hurt yourself at all. Like, I don't, not every move to win now or to be competitive now has to take away from the years down the road. You can do 1-year deals. Test it out. See what happens. If it goes well, maybe you extend. If it doesn't go well, guess what? You get the money back in a year. So it's not like you actually damage anything with 2024. You just get marginally better in 23. I don't see the issue with that.
I think you and I agree on that. And I'd also say this from a locker room dynamic, to have veterans in the room for Pickens and for Dexter, for young players, for them to look and say, okay, what does it take for me to be able to excel in the NFL? Okay, so there's some examples there with a couple of veterans, with Edwards and Edmonds, and then having someone on that defensive line, that also, I think, can pay dividends. I do. I think that maybe we can't see it as fans watching the games, but inside the locker room and in practice, I think that that does matter, having veterans that are working hard. And then, by the way, when you're working for on a 1-year deal, you will bust your ass to get another deal.
Yes.
So,
especially a guy who's not 30 yet, like Ngakoue, and has a little bit of a future, maybe.
I think that that'll be a good example for the youth on this team.
And by the way, people always talk about 30 like you're carbon dated when you're an NFL defensive player. If you look around the league, like, people thought, what's his name from Seattle who went to the Rams? Name escapes me. Wagner. Mm-hmm. Thought he was dead. They're like, oh, he's too old. He can't do it anymore. Like Levante David, kind of similar. He's too old. He can't do it anymore. They're doing just fine. There's something about, I don't think 32 is the 50 that it used to be. I think you can still play on the wrong side of 30.
Okay, so we should have a short list then of tread on the tires on football players. So if the running back is one where you can't, where the tread matters in a running back in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
Who's two? What position's two? Quarterback's down the line. That's way down the line, right? Right? So the quarterback would not be in your top three.
Well, it depends. If you're Lamar, maybe.
Well, okay.
If you're Fields, maybe.
All right. So
probably, honestly, corner or receiver. Like, I feel like corner and receiver are the spots where when you fall off, it happens very fast.
Can you? What about as a lineman, Jay Moore? Like, if you're an offensive or defensive lineman, is it tread too long for that? Because, like, for quarterback, because, like, Lamar is a one-off, he would not be on that list. But when you're talking about defensive guys, again, 30 years old is not the – doesn't mean AARP.
I think linemen can play for a long time because, it's you know, they're doing consistent reps, but it's not like they're doing, like, running laps and, you know, running a lot of yards like right. a running back or a receiver, as Shay just stated.
I think that you might have something there, Shay, with corner or secondary.
Corner, like once you're done, you're done. Like Revis was the greatest we'd ever seen, and then once he was done, I mean, it was immediate cooked product. Like he couldn't guard anybody.
I think you might have something there. Like you're young, your speed, you feel like in the back pedal, I can cover any receiver, and all of a sudden you don't become fast anymore. All of a sudden you can't cover anymore because younger and younger and faster and better models of cars at wide receiver, and you're as a corner, like I got him. No, you don't. You're two right. steps behind.
It's like DeAndre Hopkins in Arizona, and he's still effective, but clearly diminished. And then you have Justin Jefferson pop onto the scene. DeAndre Hopkins, we don't need you anymore. Like, we've got the next big thing.
We got running back one, though, on that list, right? For sure.
Absolutely. We're running back, I don't even want to give him a second contract. Get out. There's the door, Saquon. See ya.
Do you have one more you could sneak in?
Very, very quickly, okay. Julius Randle had something interesting to say about the Knicks' Game 4 loss to the Heat.
Maybe they want it more. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Shot or no shot? Wanting it more, it's just a meaningless cliche. The Heat are the better team.
No, I'm sure that is spread over all the newspapers in New York this morning. I hate that. What do you mean they want it more? You know when you say that? July. You don't say that in the midst of the playoffs. You know what that means? 1, 2, 3, Cancun. He's out of here. Seriously. God almighty, you don't say that while you're in the playoffs. I mean, yes, it looks bleak. You're down 3-1. Maybe they want it more. For real? Maybe you don't want it at all. I know that Thibodeau's going to get fired for this at some point. I get that. But it's hard to win when you don't have a number one. And can I just tell you, the Heat's not even playing their best basketball. That's the other thing, too. Like, Jimmy Butler's still deferring. He's like, oh, he cooks when he wants to. That's such a loser lament. I hate that. Maybe they want it more while you're in the playoffs? Shay, who says that? Seriously.
I couldn't believe it. Also, I don't think it has anything to do with want. I think Spoelstra's running circles around Tom Thibodeau.
No question about
that. Eric Spoelstra, and he doesn't get the respect because everybody puts the heels on him, and you didn't have to do anything. You had LeBron, Wade, Bosh. He's one of the best coaches we've seen in the last decade. He's amazing.
You know, and by the way, if that's how you really feel, that should be in the locker room and not in the press. Maybe they want it more. If that's like your kind of Jedi mind trick to try to get the Knicks going, that's fine. But not to the press. Now you're telling everybody, well, they want it more, so we're about to be up out of here. Is that the mentality? I mean, I hate that. God almighty. I'm not even a Knicks fan, but just the idea of you saying, well, maybe they want it more. So you don't want it at all. Is that what you're saying? They want it more than you, and you're in the playoffs. Nonsense. You don't blow up the Knicks, but that guy, Julius Randle, not a number one on that team. They need a number one worse than anything if they want a really serious contend. Around the NFL is coming up next on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
Come on. 1, 2, 3, Cancun.
Welcome back
to Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners. He starts to come and then he falls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Time to go around the National Football League right here on Cap and Jay Hood here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Don't forget, you can watch all the shows and the interviews you might have missed on YouTube, youtube.com. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Check out the ESPN 1000 Chicago channel. They're not only on Twitch, but also on YouTube. A lot of people are watching the show live and also checking out the interviews. So check it out, youtube.com. Look for the ESPN 1000 Chicago feed, hit that subscribe button, and boom, you're right in. Time to look around the NFL, and we're going to hear from Albert Breer coming up at 8:35 from Monday Morning Quarterback and SI.com. But here is Shay Norling. Shay?
Yeah, so we have some more, I guess this isn't quite the other shoe dropping, but it's a little more information on what's going on with Jalen Carter. And this comes from Tyler Dunn of Go Long. He wrote, I was told the Seahawks were quite pleased that everybody seemed to view their team as Carter's most logical landing spot. It was never going to happen. Quote, hell no, one team source said. A few people made a late push for Carter in the building, but the Seahawks detected polar opposite of football DNA. It says they were not alone and that teams viewed Carter as, quote, unapologetic throughout the pre-draft process. There was also an interesting quote about him getting emotional when he got drafted from an NFC scout. Quote, that's probably the most emotion that kid has shown in his entire life, or at least since he's been going through this process. Everything going on with his off-field stuff, he couldn't have gone to a better place. A strong defensive line room, former teammates to keep his ass in check. If he can't get going there, he deserves to fail. Too much gray area, too many unknowns. For mostly everybody, you really couldn't feel him out. We never could figure him out.
Okay. Well, you know, then I end up being wrong about the Seattle Seahawks because I thought that they would have the infrastructure to be able to work with Jalen Carter because of Pete Carroll, because they have a general manager that's been there for over a decade. And I guess I was just wrong about that. I don't go long. Is that a Howie Long deal there? Kyle Long? Who runs that website?
I'm not sure. I'm looking into it more, but I don't think it's Howie Long. I think it's just the go long, like throwing a deep ball.
That's not even in your top 10 of sources for football.
No, but if you're talking to a scout.
Yes.
Like, I don't care about this site at all, whoever this blogger is with the opinion. But when you're sourcing anonymous scouts, then, yeah, I get a little interested in the Jalen Carter opinion.
Well, how about this? If true... And, I mean, obviously they didn't take him, so if there's smoke, there's fire, right?
They had the opportunity, and they said no.
So I totally understand that. And so from this standpoint, Shay, again, every team was not equipped to be able to take Jalen Carter. And that, and maybe not understanding exactly what's between his ears, but the Eagles took the chance because they said, okay, whatever's going on with him, he's got teammates that he could talk to, that he can rely on and lean on. So, you know, the Eagles have him now, but even if the Seahawks, I think a model organization in the NFL, if they had a problem with him, then that says a lot about Jalen. He's just got a lot of growing up to do. I mean, I don't know what he's feeling, but what he was involved in, where two people died, I mean, that affects people different ways. Hopefully for him, he could be able to straighten his life out and be able to be a model citizen himself. All right, what else do we have?
The schedule release officially is this Thursday with special programming on ESPN and NFL Network. Thursday at 7 p.m., 3-hour programming for the NFL schedule release. Hoodie, I don't know about you. I know that there's the NHL playoffs, the NBA playoffs, Major League Baseball going on right now. My Celtics will be playing a playoff game on Thursday night. And the number one event in my eyes is the NFL schedule release. Am I out to lunch here? Like that is the predominant thing in my mind.
Nothing beats the NFL. Nothing beats it. I'm a college football fan. You're a college football fan. nothing beats the National Football League. So, no, you're not out to lunch for this because, first of all, you have multiple monitors set up so you can be able to watch it all. But monitor one will be on that schedule because you want to see how it all materializes, right? There's some – we got to talk to Albert Breer about this. There are no sacred cows in this schedule, apparently. Like, it doesn't feel like Amazon, you only get these bad games here, and Sunday Night Football, you only get these games here. It seems like it's more wide open than ever as far as a widespread of good games and prime spots for this NFL schedule. I'm looking forward to that. I just want to see the ebb and flow of the Bears schedule. I mean, I think my win total won't change at 6 or 7, but I just want to see how the ebb and flow of the schedule goes. So every year we look forward to it. So it is number one, middle screen, big spot. Yeah. On a Thursday night.
And it's never too early to start looking at the predictions. CBS Sports has their list out of the most anticipated games they expect to see. Obviously, we'll go through some of these Friday when we have the concrete schedule. But they have the season opener prediction of Chiefs and Eagles in Kansas City.
Sure.
Knowing the Chiefs will host. And the Sunday night football opener prediction, Jets versus Patriots.
Oh, my God. Oh my God. Rodgers against Belichick. Wow, that is a match made in heaven to see Rodgers in that Jets uniform officially as a starter with this Jets team against the greatest head coach we've ever seen in the National Football League in Bill Belichick and whatever he rolls out there.
Whatever. I mean, it's a dumpster fire of a team, the Patriots.
It's fascinating, though. It's fascinating. Because I know that Belichick admires Rodgers, or many do, which is just how they're going to be able to play him. That sounds magical. That's the thing about the NFL, man. You can be able to just look at the schedule, take a 1,000-foot view, and be like, you know what would be great? We roll the dice in here. The opener is this, and the Sunday night football game is this. Our first Amazon game is this. I mean, more times than not, you can get some really great matchups. Fun matchups. I'm looking forward to it.
I mean, the Monday night football predictions here, you're talking about 6 to midnight. I am having trouble containing myself reading these two games. Bills, Bengals, and Niners, Cowboys, the Monday night doubleheader.
Niners, Cowboys. That's in San Francisco. That sounds like the nightcap.
In San Francisco, Niners, Cowboys, and in Buffalo, Bengals, Bills.
Yeah, that's fun. 49ers quarterback is what? Who is it?
Remains to be seen.
Is it still Purdy?
Well, he's not going to play for a while.
That's not as fun. I need the 49ers to be ready to go with whoever they're going with the quarterback. I like a competitive nightcap. And by the way, Harry Tynowitz was always the one to say this. He always preferred the doubleheader on Monday nights, like for the whole season. He loves the idea of the doubleheader Monday night, double bubble. He's always liked.
I can't stand it, personally. The Monday night doubleheader, I hate, but I understand.
Why? It's football. Why
the
would
opening
you,
night, I get.
Why would you hate two opportunities to gamble in the NFL on a Monday night? Why is that something you hate?
I like my Sunday. I like the 8 games at noon, the 4 games at 4, and then the 2 primetime games to wrap up the week. The doubleheader Monday night, I don't need it, especially because a lot of the times when they do it, the two overlap. And that's horrible. Like last year, wasn't there a Monday night where there was one was a 6:30 start and the other was a 7:30 start? And that's not a problem for me. I have two monitors. But for average Joe, who's going to watch the game on his TV, like you can't have overlapping NFL games on a Monday night primetime.
Do you really feel bad for Joe?
Yes.
You feel? Oh, you have empathy for Joe.
I'm the everyman.
No, you're not. That's one. And two, you can't be the everyman with multiple TVs, by the way. You can't be that guy.
I'm for the everyman.
Yeah, okay, exactly.
I keep the little man in my heart.
And in your pants. And that is our look around the NFL.
It's not right.
Right here. That's your look around the NFL.
No fun leak.
Right here on Captain J Hood. All right, coming up. The little man and I will talk to Albert Breer. His thoughts about the schedule release and also news and notes around the National Football League. That's coming up next. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
I haven't hit it in 4 months.
Here's today's headlines with Cap and Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. If you missed our Blackhawks coverage as the Blackhawks get the number one pick in the draft, It's in our 7 o'clock podcast. It's available now on the ESPN Chicago app. Just click Cap and Jay Hood. And our 7 a.m. hour, as always, is brought to you by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Good news out of the United Center yesterday. The Blackhawks got the number one pick. Expectation is that the Blackhawks will select Connor Bedard. Bedard is a potential franchise-altering player. White Sox lost their series opener to Kansas City by a score of 12-5. The Cubs lost the opener to the Cardinals by a score of 3-1. The Cubs are now 17-18 on the season. Game two against St. Louis tonight at 6:40. And the Sox will take on Kansas City at 6 o'clock. You can hear that game right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. LeBron James and the Lakers are up 3-1 against Golden State. Jimmy Butler led the Heat to a Game 4 victory, taking a 3-1 series lead over the Knicks. Vegas beat Edmonton 5-1 to take a 2-1 series lead in the NHL playoffs. Jay Moore.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's Home for Sports.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap and Jay Hood.
Bert's it.
What? You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
Well, see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's Home for Sports.
But Bert is it.
Every Tuesday at 8:35, we get a chance to talk to Albert Breer from SI.com, a Monday morning quarterback. He joins us in the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Cap is on today. It's Jay Hood here on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show. So glad you're with us here as we talk to Albert Breer. Good morning, Albert.
Good morning, Hoodie. How are we doing?
Doing very well, thank you. I want to ask you about the ebb and flow of what it took for the Jets to get Aaron Rodgers. You wrote about it on SI.com. I mean, what's the old expression? Once you're a Jet, you're a Jet all the way. Like, there's such a dumpster fire of an organization over the years, but seemingly they did what they need to do to get their quarterback. What was that process like?
Bumpy, I would say. Mm-hmm. I think, like, you know, one of the things I want to emphasize in the piece was that I do think, like, the relationships, the people on hand helped. You know, like, I think the fact that, you know, Joe Douglas and Brian Gutekunst have such a good relationship from having been on the road and could trust each other helped. I think the coaches sort of, you know, having that pact to stay out of it and the fact that they were best friends to begin with, that helped. I think there was another, you know, part of it, like, where, you know, like, I think Woody Johnson and Mark Murphy were sort of marked by the experience of going through the Brett Favre trade 15 years ago, you know? And so, I think this is always going to be complicated because optics are going to be involved with a trade like this, you know? And so for the team that's offloading the quarterback, you don't want to make it seem like you got hoodwinked or you walked away from a guy like that for anything less than full market value. You know, and then I think for the team bringing in the quarterback, you've got to protect your long-term your long-term interest because the guy might only be there for a year or two. And I know people have a hard time conceptualizing this, buddy, but like a first-round pick, like let's say the guy becomes a Pro Bowl player. Well, now you have the Pro Bowl player under cost control for 5 years. So that's what you're trading, right? Versus, you know, bringing in a guy for a year at probably twice as much as it would cost for the entire contract of that rookie that you're trading away, you know? Mm-hmm. So like it's a complicated deal to do because there aren't great precedents for it. There's a complicated deal to do because of the history both teams had from the Favre thing. And I think eventually it winds up getting pushed over the goal line because of the relationships that existed between the people who are in charge of the two teams.
Well, aren't you surprised that the Jets were able to finally get this done? I mean, you know their history.
Yeah, I know their history, but like they had to. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, look, like, I mean, here's the reality of it. Like, and I think Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh have done a good job on a few different fronts. But the fact of the matter is, this is a lifeline for them. You know what I mean? Like, how many GMs and coaches survive drafting a quarterback second overall and seeing him go down in flames in 2 years? You know what I mean? Like, there aren't many that'll survive, you know, sort of what Zach Wilson has been the last two years. And so, you know, what this provides for them is an opportunity to show everybody, well, we may have messed that up, but we did good work everywhere else. And the roster's in really good shape. And here's proof, like one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time wants to play for us. And, you know, I think, like, you know, failing to get this done would only highlight the mistake that they made with Wilson and probably be the death nail for, you know, the GM and head coach in New York. So as far as urgency goes, I don't think the guys in charge of the Jets had any choice but to get it done. And on the Packers side, look, like, I think they had leverage because they knew the Jets were in that position. But for them, too, like, you know, if Rodgers retires, you know, they walk away, they don't get anything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So to get this sort of return where you get a second-round pick, and I think that pick became Luke Musgrave, right, the tight end from Oregon State. And then almost certainly, I mean, unless Rodgers has some sort of, like, very serious injury, they're going to get a first-round pick next year. It's a much better return than what they got for Brett Favre all those years ago.
I want to ask you about Andrew Luck. Now, we've heard of players, you know, retiring early and you know, for whatever reason. But with Andrew Luck, I remember that exhibition game against the Bears, and all of a sudden he just bounced on the Colts. And so, is this the story true that the Washington football team was interested in Andrew Luck's services?
What I was told, I think the story's sort of been out there, and it's interesting how this thing spiraled over the last 2 days. But, you know, when Washington was looking last year, and they made, if you remember, like they took a pretty big swing at Matthew Stafford.
Mm-hmm.
They offered, I'm trying to remember, I think it was a first and a third round pick and last year's draft to get him. And Stafford didn't want to go there. Like, The Panthers and the Commanders both made really good offers for Matthew Stafford, and he didn't want to go to either of those places. So that was 2 years ago when this was happening. Or was it last year? 2 years ago.
Two years ago.
You know, like, they went through that, and then, you know, like, they come back the next year, and, like, they had basically decided, we're going to turn over every rock to try to find a starting quarterback. And then eventually they land on Carson Wentz, which obviously wasn't the right answer. But, like, they took this approach, this, like, it can't hurt to ask approach. So, like, that meant, like, calling every team about this idea, that idea. And I guess it's, like, the sort of, like, there's no stupid question. Like, will you trade me Justin Herbert? Might seem like a stupid question, but, you know, I guess they took the approach, it can't hurt to ask. And Andrew Luck was one of those things that they sort of wanted to investigate as part of, like, this really, really broad look at, like, which quarterbacks might be available for whatever the price might be.
That should be a white whale for you, right? Can't you just find Andrew Luck and ask him why? I haven't heard anything from him since he walked away.
Yeah, well, I Seth Wickersham, who's, you know, does a great job with all this stuff, did a really, really good story with him for ESPN. And I'd actually, like, kind of, like, reached out to him a couple times, and he's always, like, really, really nice. Like, Andrew's one of the best people I've covered. Like, you know, in 18 years covering the NFL, like, you know, one of the best people I've covered. And he was very reserved and, like, didn't want to make a big deal of his existence, I guess, you know. And I think, like, part of it for him was he just sort of wanted to be a regular dude. You know what I mean? Like, and I think he liked the idea. I mean, I think that's part of the reason, Huddy, why he went to Stanford in the first place. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if Andrew Luck goes to, like, you know, Ohio State or Alabama, or he can't walk across campus. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At Stanford, he could ride his bike across campus and no one's going to bother him, you know? And, like, I just think that there was that part of it that, like, part of, like, walking away from football that appealed to him. And I think that part of it he really likes, like, just being able to be a regular, normal dude. And I think, like, the idea of bringing more attention to himself was always something that I don't think he was wild about doing. Now, eventually he did do the story and he did it with Seth, and Seth did a fantastic job with it. But I know it took some prodding for that to happen. I just think a huge part of it is, like, the contentment he's found away from football.
You got any rumor or innuendo about the schedule coming up on Thursday? Some rumors, some hotness?
I'll tell you what's not a rumor. What's not a rumor is that I'm pissed off that they're going to have a triple header on Christmas Day again. And
yeah, man.
That's a fact.
gosh.
Yeah. I like, you know, you hear little things about what they're going to do with Germany and everything else. So that should be good, like the back-to-back games in Germany. And, you know, I think there are, I think, you know, one thing that I have my eyes on, and I don't pay a ton of attention to this. I like the, like, you know, digging into the process of how it happens and all of that. But I don't pay a ton of attention to the schedule release because we have answers on who teams are playing 3-4 months before that. I always think, like, who they place in the opening game is interesting. And, you know, I kind of, like, dug through that last night. And, you know, I talked to somebody with the Chiefs who thought it was going to be the Chargers. And then I looked it up, and I was like, oh, well, wait a second. There's only been one division game in the last 10 of these. And it was actually that Bears-Packers game that was, like, just to commemorate the 100th anniversary. So you think maybe it's not a division game. I can't imagine they put, like, the Eagles or Bills or Bengals. Like, the Bengals maybe, but, like, the Eagles or Bills, you can't imagine they put, like, that sort of marquee matchup on this opening Thursday because they probably want to use that for late ratings later in the year. Mm-hmm. So, like, I sort of came up with the Dolphins or Lions as fun alternatives. But that's always interesting because it's just – it sort of tells you what the league thinks about these teams. And the Dolphins would be interesting, although they might want to avoid the Tua storyline. The Lions, I think, like, to me, like, the Lions are a lot of fun, but I don't know if they have the national appeal. And the Bengals, again, like, the Bengals, you might look at it and say, if you're the league, well, like, you know, like, they're not a ratings, like, driver the way some of the other great teams are, and we could put a really relevant game on that first Thursday night. But there are a lot of good options there for the league, no question about it.
It's a longer conversation, Albert, but it's just, like, nothing stops the NFL. This big snowball, I mean, they don't care about the NBA. Adam Silver's got to be pissed off. It's like, well, this is our day, Christmas Day, and you're putting three games there. And then our mediocre college football games we get, like, the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
On Black Friday. We're not even getting that, too.
Hoodie, do you remember as a kid, I believe Colorado-Nebraska was always in that day?
Yes.
Right? Like, and that was when it was a big game when we were kids, right? Like,
yes.
Like, that was like when Bill McCartney was at Colorado and Tom Osborne was at Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
And those were massive games. And so, yeah, like, that's sort of like always been part of my thing is like Black Friday. Like, you know, I'll be sitting in my office doing work or whatever. Or, and, you know, you'll just have, like, you know, the Iowa game on in the background.
Right.
You know, so.
They're taking that away from us, too.
I know. And Thursday, they're making a big thing. I will tell you, I won't be watching the schedule release because Thursday's my wife's birthday.
Oh,
so
okay.
I will not be sitting on the couch watching it. But I have a great story if you want to hear it.
Yes,
from
please.
Chicago, actually.
Yeah.
So the league uses the network to promote these sorts of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the network sort of becomes like a promotional tool for the league to, if they want to turn an event or a date into a bigger thing, then they'll use the network to do it. So we were part of that when I was at the network. It was probably 10 years ago. And so they sent me to Chicago for the schedule release. And they're like, it'll be great. You'll be at a bar. There'll be people reacting and everything else. And, you know, like, there'll be Bears fans there. And you'll be able to kind of play to the crowd and all of that. Like, like, layup, right?
Yeah.
So what they didn't realize was that both the Blackhawks and Bulls had playoff games that night. And so I get sent to Chicago, and I get put in this sports bar in the suburbs, which, I mean, fine, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, what sports bar in Chicago on the night the Bulls and Blackhawks are playing playoff games is going to have the schedule release up on one of the TVs? So we literally had to go to the bartender and tell him and ask him, because, like, obviously we were giving the bar publicity, too. We had to go to the bar. I had to go to the bartender and ask him, like, hey, can you please put the schedule release up on one of these TVs so I have it in the background? And, yeah, I may have actually gotten in trouble, too, for referencing the fact that I had to do that on the air. But, I think we passed the statute of limitations on me getting in trouble for telling the story.
Yeah, out of three events, that's like fourth or fifth.
Yeah.
Like the schedule release in that bar at that time. We love having you on, man. Thanks so much, as always.
And hey, congratulations to Chicago. Big day for the Blackhawks yesterday.
Number one, brother. We're back.
How about that? Yeah, and it's the right year. I mean, I'm not the biggest hockey guy, but it seems like it's the right year to have the first pick, too.
Oh, absolutely. And you're trying to reset the organization? Totally understand it. Albert, as always, we appreciate you coming on. Albert Breer with us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle.
thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Your boy was absolutely tongue-tied. I'll tell you that story next on Cap and J-Hood.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and J-Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN Chicago.
J-Hood on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We'll talk about tanking and sports coming up at 9 o'clock. Just a couple of items here before we talk about something that was just weird and just wrong on WLW Radio in Cincinnati yesterday. Guys, I'm coming in. I'm just strolling into the office this morning, and I run into Val Warner from ABC7. And I've got my coffee in my right hand, and you know what I got in my left hand? You know what I got in my left hand? My bag.
All right.
And so from there, I'm just watching. I'm going into the studio. I just told, I got my bag with my headphones, my yellow pad in there. You know that. That's not a mystery.
My big bag.
My big black bag is right here. Everyone can see it on Twitch and YouTube. And Val Warner sees me, right? And she goes, "You didn't get me no coffee." And I froze. When's the last time that you see me freeze at any point in time? Like, no quick line, no one-liner, no funny. I just froze. And I was just like, I got nothing. That never happens to me. But it's Val Warner, and it's like, she said, "You didn't bring me coffee." I was like, da-da-da-da-da-da. What happened there? What happened, Jay Moore?
We're a little starstruck.
I don't know. I've seen her plenty of times. Just like, I don't know what happened. They had no line. She's like, "I was going to get coffee anyway." So that was the end of that. Have a nice day.
You know what you should have said?
Cut that meat.
I couldn't say that.
No.
You booted out of the building.
We can't do Val like that. Come on.
No, I couldn't do that. But just that's one of the rare times I didn't have a witty comeback and just like, I have a good day. Lady. That's all I had. It's terrible. So I thought quickly about Bob Huggins. You know who Bob Huggins is? West Virginia Mountaineers head coach Bob Huggins faced the Xavier Musketeers 16 times when he was the coach of the Cincinnati Bearcats. So he's on WLW Radio in Cincinnati. And he used a homophobic slur to refer to Xavier fans during his appearance. And he's talking to Xavier grad Bill Cunningham, who's the host of that show. Now, here's what happened. Huggins apologized on Twitter for using a homophobic slur. I heard it. We're not going to play it. You can find it if you want to on social. Here's my point about Bob Huggins and people like Bob Huggins, and that I just don't understand. How is it that he's supposed to be a leader of men? And I'm sure that he's one of these old school coaches that preaches discipline and passion and character and be humble and be willing to change and get rid of your bad habits and mental toughness. This is the things that an old schooler like Bob Huggins would say to his players, but yet he could not exercise that on that interview. Where was the discipline or the character or being humble or even the mental toughness to be able to not go down that road and say what he said in that homophobic slur against Xavier fans? Now, you want to do that off the air? It's probably not acceptable there for someone who's a high-profile coach like Huggins. But the point is, though, is that when I heard that, that's the first thing that came to my mind. The obvious is that you don't say words like that, the terms that he used in an interview. You just don't. You're a public figure. You shouldn't be doing that. But that's, again, I can't stop Huggins from saying what he wants to say. But the thing that resonated with me the most is, and this is for all you coaches as well, you talk so much about discipline and being passionate and having character and all these things to try to set up the next generation of basketball players and men in this society. Yeah, so where was Huggins in all that? Where is his discipline? Where is his humility? Where is his mental acuity to say, okay, I'm talking to a Xavier grad and Bill Cunningham. I'm going to bust his balls about his school, but then I'm going to use a homophobic slur to do so. Just think about that. I mean, everyone says, you know, we're in the land of snowflakes and everyone is offended all the time. Okay, great. So because of that, does that mean that you have to go down that road just to test it? Just to be able to find out what would happen to you? Now, he apologized quickly, but if that's how you really feel, why do you have to apologize? Why do you apologize? Just stand on your belief that that's how you feel. Go ahead. You apologize because you don't want your career to end. Yeah, some humility, some discipline. No discipline on the part of Bob Huggins. The Hawks are number one in 2 minutes on Cap and J-Hood.